Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, and today we're going to look at an exciting subject which many of us may not like that much. And that word is authority. We have big troubles with that word. We struggle with that word. If you would remember that we all grow up in authority, and we struggle with that. Right. Let's all look to God, and as we consider this all-important subject on who can enter the kingdom of God. It's a very sensitive subject, and many of us would usually debate with friends over this question: who has the right to go to heaven? And we're gonna have a fun time learning together. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, we ask you that this morning, as we come before you, we ask that your Spirit will minister to us and speak to us. We ask that, Lord, you help us to be teachable, and as we open our hearts, Lord, speak to us. As your servant waits, we love to hear your voice. So be with us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of these pictures will be fairly familiar to you. And can I see how many of you have never been on a plane? See? You Singaporeans. Man. You would find all this very familiar. When you're at the airport, since 9-1-1, and everybody's lives have changed. The way you travel has changed. And many people, some of my friends have got to discard some expensive perfumes they carry. And that is a big problem for them, because it's so painful to throw away. And you and I know that liquids, you're not allowed to carry liquids on board now. All right? Because now there are new regulations. There are new rules. And who makes all these rules? And if you were to go to the airport and you say, nah, I'm going to bring them on board, I just cannot be bothered with what you are saying. How many of you think that you will never get on board the plane? You're not going to get on board the plane. All right? We've got new rules now. You've got to be there 2 hours before earlier, and there'll be some flights you'll be subjected to 100% check. Do you know what's 100% check? It means they'll open up your luggage, they'll look through every single item. And Evelyn and myself, we were at this airport one morning, and they're conducting 100% check on everybody. So there's this guy, young man, he opened up a huge suitcase. And when he opened up the suitcase, we were amazed. We stood there and looked at his suitcase, and we went, wow. Because every piece of clothing was so neatly packed. It was so straight, you wouldn't believe it, that it belonged to a guy. And a customs officer simply went, And it was so painful. After that, he had to put everything back, and man, it was a mess. But these are the new rules. No scissors, no nail clippers. And you say, what am I going to do with a nail clipper? Put it to the neck of the pilot and say, I want to go to Afghanistan? No, you can't kill anybody with a nail clipper. But the rule is no nail clippers. And that is the rule. Who makes the rule? The airport authorities. And don't you think, how many of you think those rules are good? How many of you think those rules are bad? Come on, be honest. Liars. We hate all these rules. Because it's just nonsense. But you and I know deep down in our hearts, at the back of our minds, these rules protect us. Don't you think so? It's a lot of hassle, yes. All right. When we're going through airports in the States especially, we have to take out our shoes, socks, even our belts and what else, you know? And the queue is that long. And it's frightening because you feel like you're going to miss your flight. But that's the rule. Everything, you got to remove everything, watch everything. But those rules are meant to protect us. It's for our safety. Thanks to Osama, we've got to do it nowadays. On the plane, no phone calls, no handphones. When you're about to take off, they'll tell you to switch off your handphone. When you're about to land, they'll tell you to switch off your handphone. No calls. You can make calls like that if you want, all right? And I remember coming back from Australia once, there was this guy, he was listening to his music, just in-flight music, all right? And the plane was about to land. The stewardess went up to him, he was just sitting right across the aisle to the other side. The stewardess says, sir, you have to switch off your headset. And he says, no. And this is an Aussie, there are no Aussies here, so I can't offend anybody. He said, no. And he was very, very harsh. And that really caught the stewardess by surprise. And the plane landed. After that, when the door opened, two security guards came up and he was escorted off the plane. All right? Those are the rules. You may not like it, you may not agree with it, but those are the rules. Another familiar situation. How many of you have been pulled over by the cop? Come on, raise your hands. Be honest. All right? I have. All right? And when a cop pulled you over, I was pulled over once, and when I wind down the window, he said, man, you stupid guy, don't you know you're driving dangerously? And didn't I tell you 100 times before that you should be careful on the road? Did he say that to me? No. He came up to me, he said, good afternoon, sir. What you did was dangerous, and I'm going to give you a ticket for it. He didn't shout at me. Why? Because he had authority. He had authority. And he did not need to shout at me. Unlike us, many times when our children misbehave, we start to scream at them, isn't it? And it simply shows that we've lost it. We've forgotten that we have authority and we do not need to scream. And the traffic cops are there to, again, protect us. How many of you think that you would have been able to arrive here safely this morning without rules on the road? How many of you would be able to arrive here without rules on the road? No. All of us will be at a hospital, all right? Because nobody is going to obey the red lights. The rules are meant to protect us. And the cops, they have authority. Another recent case, which is here in Singapore, this might be familiar to you. Those of you who are under 18, please close your eyes, all right? Is this picture familiar? It came out in the papers. It's all over the web. Right? This couple decided to walk down Holland Road naked. That was only in January this year. Okay? And the case is still pending, and they'll be sentenced, I think, by end of this month. Likelihood is that they'll be going to jail. It's a Swedish guy with a Singaporean girl. All right? And I know Barn is squirming right now because this girl is an A-star scholar, all right? If you do not know what's an A-star scholar, A-star stands for Agency for Scientific and Technological Research, something like that, all right? But they decided that they wanted to do it. I don't care if there are rules. I love to do it. And that's how they felt. So they walked down and they were arrested. She has got what we call a membership with Mensa, right? If you guys do not know what's Mensa, Mensa is an association for those who have, with very high IQ, very high IQ, like Albert Einstein. And I'm not kidding you, she's a member of Mensa. Who cares about authority? Is there authority? Who's going to decide nobody's going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. What was interesting was recently there was a talk show host by the name of Stephen Colbert. Sometimes he does comedy. Some of you may be familiar with his name. He had a session, a talk with this lady called Larry Lipman Brown. She was a former U.S. senator, and she's today head of this association called the Secular Coalition of America. Secular Coalition of America. If you do not know what it meant, it means that this is an association of atheists, people who says that there is no God, and nobody is going to tell us how we should live our lives. Marriage between a man and a man, fine. Who cares? That's your sexual orientation. This is what these people are saying. And during the talk, it was amazing. And Colbert was able to put a very direct question to her and says, what do you think of sex between two consenting adults? And if they were to be willing to bring in a snake, do you have a problem? And she was stuck. She was forced into a corner, and she came out openly to say, I do not have a problem with that. And at that moment, he nailed her, because he said to her these words. He says, because you have no moral compass. You do not know where's the North Pole or the South Pole now. So everything is the same. Everything is all right. Guys, that's the rule. That's the kind of world that today we live in now. No speed limits, no laws, no authority, no... I don't care. I want to have chewing gum in Singapore. It's okay. You can chew gum. Right? But there are rules here. Who makes up the rules? I just want to just deviate a little bit, because it has to do with what we see here in Singapore. Singapore is different, right? We may appear to be a society that's pretty much so rigid, full of rules. Everything is fine. And I would want to just venture a bit further to talk more about the church with relation to the state. In a church, we have rules, we have authority. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. But who's the visible head? I am. And we have got elders, we've got leaders here, we've got Bible study leaders, and you have leaders. And we are not to do our own thing. We are to subject ourselves to Christ. And there is authority here in the church. In a family, you have authority too. The husband is the head of the household. And all this is meant to protect you. There are rules, there are regulations to protect you. They are meant for your good. But we see recently in Singapore, there are a couple of things that's really happening, and it's catching a lot of our attention. And that is what is going on in this issue with the association called AWARE. I'm aware it has got inclinations to homosexuality. Yes, that is true. Who does not? But what I'm saying here is that it is a secular organization. It is not a church. And we have got Christians today who are going into that association trying to change it. While that's commendable, and while the Bible is clearly speaking up against homosexuals, and be it known to you that homosexuals will never enter the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus said. But while that is true, can you think for a moment with me today? If you're a non-Christian, what would you be saying about Christians? And I'll just tell you my 2 cents worth. Because
we need to talk about it. That Christians, like them, what they have done is to discredit the name of Jesus because they have taken over the association in a hostile fashion. And I think that is a great shame. And do you think it's going to be easier the next time we step up to a friend on the street and say, hey, I'm going to tell you about Jesus? What do you think would be their response to you? And we've got people who go on the street handing out tracts that are offensive. What are we doing? We need to think about the good name of Jesus. We need to be loving, gentle. We don't have to condemn them because they are already condemned. We need to love them. We need to persuade them. We need to plead with them. Just as Jesus did. Look at Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus standing outside the synagogue with a placard and say, down with homosexuality, down with the Pharisees. You guys are all going to hell. Have you ever seen Jesus doing that? No. And I would want all of us to think seriously before we act. Before we step up to a non-Christian, a non-believer, and speaking to them in very harsh tones, it is not going to work. So, I've said my 2 cents worth. And I think it's a very important issue which you and I have to think through it. I will speak against homosexuality from this pulpit. I'll speak against sin from this pulpit. We will not tolerate sin. But how do we carry the message to the lost? How are we loving them? That is my concern. Who gets to heaven? How then shall I live? You Americans would be familiar with this, all right? This brand is called Hebrew National. It's one of the most popular sausages in the States. And it is meant for the Hebrews, as the name implied. It's for the Jews. What do you think? Would there be pork in it? Would there be pork in it? What do you think? No. Why? Sounds like a stupid question to ask. But if you look at the logo very carefully, under the Hebrew National, it has got this fine print. And it says, if you cannot see it, it says, it's somewhere here, we answer to a higher authority. We answer to a higher authority. And they've got it right, that there is not going to be pork in it because they have a higher authority. It's nothing spiritual there. And that brings us to the question, what is authority? That's a terrible word. But it is a reality. Authority is the right to exercise power, the right to rule or to command. It is a right to exercise power. Somebody who has a right to exercise power, just like a policeman, he steps up to you and he says, you have broken the law, you were speeding, you beat a red light, and here's the ticket. Well, that's how it happens here in Singapore. Other parts of the world, it may be slightly different. But here in Singapore, you get a ticket. And this is authority. So who has the right to make all these rules? In Singapore, you don't walk around naked. It is the rule. It is the government who makes the rule. And when it comes to heaven, who has the right, who has the authority to tell us how then can we make it to heaven? In today's passage, we're going to see how Jesus is going to deal with the problem with these Jewish religious leaders. They've got some misunderstanding. And
and most of all, they refuse to accept the authority of Jesus. They have rejected Jesus. And you would remember in our study that where we are now, Jesus is very close to the end of his ministry. All right? He's in the final week of his ministry. We've just had Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and the last 3 years, Jesus has been preparing this group of disciples so that they can continue to carry the gospel when he is gone. And in this final week, Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and he is presenting himself one final time to the Israelites that he is the king. He is the king. And we know that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, have rejected him, have rejected his authority. And in the next couple of chapters, we're going to see how he is going to go head on with the religious leaders. And today is just the beginning of this clash between Jesus and the Pharisees. And it all comes down to this question of authority. Because in a kingdom, there must be authority. A king must have authority. Does that make sense? I hope so. In a society, in a country, there must be authority. In a church, there must be authority. In a home, there must be authority. All right? That God has put in place. All these things God has put in place. So authority, really, it is the right to exercise power, the right to rule or command. And the Pharisees have got it all wrong. They thought that they are the chosen people, the children of Abraham, and they are going to make it to heaven. But they were wrong. The first thing that I hope you write down, the first point that we're going to look at today, this morning, is all authority comes from God. And you may be asking, Pastor John, how do we know? Well, look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who created everything. God started by introducing himself to us by saying, "Hello, it's me. I'm God. I'm the one who created everything." He didn't start a debate, all right? He didn't say, "Well, what do you think?" He didn't start it that way, all right? He started by introducing himself. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 and 12, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength." This is your kingdom, and you are the one who is over all things. And the Bible tells us right from the beginning that it is God who has all authority. And today, where do we read and understand what God is saying? What is his direction? What are his instructions? What are his commands? It is here. This is his voice, his word to us today. This is where we can find directions how to live this life right. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 continue to tell us, "And the Lord God commanded the man." He commanded the man. God was the one who set out to put in the rules for us, how you and I, we are to live our life. And what is it that we need to do? You have a choice of two things. Either you can submit or you can disobey. You can submit to God's authority or you can disobey God's authority and continue to live your own life, run your own life. These are the
two choices that God has given to all of us. So, point number two really is that life is all about, it's made up of either submitting to or rebelling against God's authority and His rules. You see, in life, it's not really that complicated. Life is not so complicated. If you submit yourself to God's authority, then you know exactly what you need to do. The path is clear. You will know what you need to do. Or you can rebel against, and then you're on your own. The next step, what you're going to do, you do not know. You have to figure it out yourself, because God is no more in the picture. That is rebellion. That is what the Bible calls sin. And, you know, the wisest thing and the biggest favor that you can do for yourself and for myself is to ask the question, God, what would you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? So that is life. Verse 23 continues to tell us, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? You see, the Pharisees were still hopping mad, because you remember that just a day or two earlier, Jesus came into the temple and he overturned the table of the money changers, and he whipped them, he chased out everybody because they were not treating the house of God right. And these Pharisees are hurting because their business is affected. So they came and they say, you know, what do you think you're doing? Jesus, who gave you the authority? You mean you are God? Are you telling us you are God? And Jesus is saying, yes, I am God. They just missed it. They weren't listening. You know, Jesus was all this while trying to tell them that I am God. I came down from heaven. So verse 24 continues. Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from man? Interesting reply. And Jesus is the master. He handles every situation, and will do well to learn from him, because he was able to see the hearts of men, and he knew exactly what was their problem. And by asking the question, Jesus was really telling them the first thing, and that is, all authority is either of God or of man. There are only two types of authority in this world, of God and of man. And Jesus used the life of John the Baptist, and he's asking him, what do you think? He's asking the Pharisees, what do you think? Is John the Baptist doing all these things of his own authority or of God's authority? He's asking them. And, you know, he got them in a corner. And they knew that they were cornered. So verse 25 continues to tell us, they held an AGM. And amongst themselves, they said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. You see, the Jewish leaders knew very well they had only two options. If they say that Jesus John the Baptist is from God, and his ministry is from the authority of God,
They knew that Jesus would ask them, then why didn't you believe John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist was the one who said what? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Believe in Him. Follow Him. That's not a real option for them. Option two, they knew that if they were to say that John the Baptist is from man, doing it out of his own, the Gospel of Luke told us also that they were afraid that the crowd would stone them. Right? They will lose their life. So what's the solution? What do you think is the best solution? And that is a frightening thought, because that is the most common solution that all of us take. And the solution is to lie. And their lie was that they say, we don't know. Because they knew. The only problem is they refused to accept, because they saw the teachings and the ministry of John the Baptist, they have heard the teachings of Jesus, and they saw the miracles he did, and they saw his lifestyle, and yet they refused, because the prophets wrote of Jesus what he must be like, what he should be teaching, and what he should be doing. All these things been taught in the prophets, and they just refused to acknowledge it, to accept it, and they chose to lie. And how often we, as followers of Christ, we as leaders of the church, we as parents, sometimes we know, but we choose to lie. How sad. What a tragic situation. Verse 28, Jesus, looking at them, asked, what do you think? And do you think that Jesus really wanted an answer to this? Because point number four, you have to remember this, that it doesn't matter what you and I think. It doesn't matter. The only thing that's important is what God thinks. But Jesus nonetheless asked them, what do you think? Because Jesus is going to show the Pharisees. He's going to tell them a story, a little story that is going to leave them with no doubt that He is God and He has the authority. Look at verse 28. Jesus said, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. Verse 29, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. You see, the vineyard always, almost always, represents the nation of Israel. And the father here speaks of God, who has authority like all fathers do. And he is the owner of the vineyard, and he has the right to ask his sons to go and work. And that is obedience. And these two sons represents two types of people. And I'm not saying here Christians. There are two types of people. One is the self-righteous, the people who thought that they are right with God. They say all the right things. They dress right. They look right. They give all the right answers. The second type of people are the publicans, the sinners, we call them. And in Israel, they're called publicans, right? They're the sinners, the scum of society, people whom you don't want to associate with, people who like prostitutes, tax collectors. And today, you look around, maybe in our context, we have gangsters, pimps, maybe bums, guys who just want to play computers, hang around waiting for free handouts from the parents. We don't want to associate with them. Notice that these two responses are to the command of the same Father, and they are to obey. But the Jewish leaders, they completely misunderstood God. They completely missed the point, and they went into rituals, legalism, and by that they thought that they are going to make it to heaven. Listen to what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. We've dealt with this passage already. Jesus said, "But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless your righteousness is better than that of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, you will never enter heaven. This is what Jesus is saying. And Jesus is comparing a dead religion to a real and vibrant personal relationship with him. It is about a relationship with Jesus. It is about a relationship where we enter into his righteousness. We are riding on his righteousness, not on ours. But if you will try to get to heaven by legalism, doing things and dressing right, outwardly there is this form of piety. Outwardly there is, but inwardly there is no relationship with Jesus. And this is the people that Jesus is speaking up against, people who are self-righteous. I wonder how many of us this morning could honestly say that I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I may not be perfect, and we will never be perfect, but I understand that I have this big problem with my sin, and I need Jesus. I need to lean on him, to depend on him, and have his forgiveness. Or if, on the other hand, if you think that, oh, I'm a member of this church, I've been baptized 25 times, you know, I have a Christian name and my Bible is bigger than any of yours, and I'm going to heaven. If anybody is going to heaven, I'm going to make it, you know. But if I look at some of you, man, I'm not so sure. If that's your thinking, then you are self-righteous because you think that you are good enough to go to heaven. And you are not. All right? You are not. Because unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus, that he is your Savior and your Lord. He has to be your master. You cannot take one without the other. It's a package. All right? And this is what the Bible teaches consistently throughout, that he is not just to be your savior. He came to claim you, to be your master, because he bought you with a price. And that is his blood. Today he owns you. And if he doesn't own you, then you do not belong to him. And I want to say to you, you know, as gentle as I can and as loving as I can, and you have to look at your own life. Because you may be coming here for the last 20 years, every Sunday on time serving. And if you do not, if Jesus is not your master, then you will never enter the kingdom of God. Notice in verse 29, the first son who answered, "I will not." But later, the Bible tells us what? He changed his mind. Did your Bible stop there? Was that a full stop? What else did he say? And he went. Exactly. And he went. It's not just enough. Changing your mind is a great step. It's the first step. All right? Many of us have changed our mind, but we are still sitting on our butt, doing nothing. But this son, what did the Bible tell us? He went. That brings us to our last point. And that is, real repentance starts with a change of mind that results in a change of lifestyle. It must result in the way, a change in the way you live your life. If there's no change, then there is a big doubt whether there was a change in mind, in your mind, and that whether there was real repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is acknowledging and naming what you've done as sin, as God reveals to us. If you have been surfing the web for pornographic websites, it is a sin and you need to stop. You need to call it sin and you need to stop. If you have been gambling, if you have been drinking and smoking, you need to stop. It's a bad lifestyle. You need to change. If you have been womanizing, you need to stop. And I want to say this to you as you know, Christians, and you say that, you know, we Singaporeans, we don't do it. You just do not know how many pastors here in Singapore has fallen over this last few years. Not just pastors, their wives have fallen. And it's a real thing because we live in a city. Every day we bump into people and they're so cute. They're more understanding than our wives at home. They're more gentle than our husbands at home. And we fall. We fall. Because I've been in touch with people who are from other churches and it's frightening. And I will never myself for a moment think that it can never happen to me. Right? And you guys need to be careful because that's when Satan is going to hit you. When you're traveling, when in a hotel room, man, who needs to know? Now you can just watch X-rated movies and pay with your credit card and they will say it is for coffee, you know? The hotel will do it for you. So remember, repent. When John the Baptist came onto his ministry, the first word that he said was, repent. You need to turn from your sin. You need to call it sin and turn. Forsake it. Turn and follow God. What was the first word when Jesus came into his ministry? What was the first word? Repent. Same word. And we need to go out to our friends out there in the world to tell them that they are dying in their sin and they need to repent. We should not be ashamed to use this word because John the Baptist did, Jesus did, and that's what Jesus required, that we repent. And you and I need to repent of our sins every day. What was the first word when Peter, after Pentecost, came out? What was the first word that he used? Repent. You're right. And that is the message that you and I need to carry out to the world and to tell them they have sinned, they need to turn away from their sin and turn to God. Verse 31. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. The amazing thing about Jesus is when he tells them the story, the little parable, and he asked them for an answer. And when they answered in verse 31, the first, they actually condemned themselves. And that's what Jesus does to all of us. And he will come to me and say, John, what do you think you did yesterday when you were alone in the room? And I'll look up at him and say, Lord, it's sin. I've bad thoughts. Please forgive me. I've committed adultery. I've committed hatred. I hated this brother of mine. I'm sorry. and I need to nail it to the cross. And this is what Jesus did, and he will do to all of us. And when we answer the first, we are nailing ourselves to what we are doing wrongly. And the question this morning before all of us here is, which son are you? The first or the second? And so often, as we look at ourselves, so often we are like the second. It's so easy for us to pay lip service, isn't it? Just to say all the right things and look right, dress right, but we have not changed our mind and we did not take the next step of obedience as the first son did. He went. And as I look at this passage, it's amazing that Jesus left the story where it is, because he's still leaving the door wide open. He's just telling them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering heaven ahead of you, which means what? The door is still open for every one of us here. And today, if you have not known Jesus as your personal Savior, I urge you today to acknowledge, to admit your own sin, and to know, to believe that Jesus died for you, paid the price of your sin when he died on the cross, and you still can enter heaven. Who has the right to make all the rules, to decide who goes into heaven? Jesus, because he is God. And he makes all the rules. And today, it's crystal clear that if you want to continue to run your own lives and live in disobedience to God, fine, every Sunday you're here, you look fine, you know. But the moment, maybe even before you leave, as you're sitting here, you're thinking of all the bad things to do. And as God speaks to you, you need to repent and follow Jesus in obedience. And today, if you do not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can, because the door is still open. You still can receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you can become a child of God. That is the good news. And Jesus is still waiting. Many of us are still struggling. We have been in church for many years and we're struggling with our Christian life. Can I encourage you? Forsake your sins, because there are many. And that is why you're not walking close to God. And in this church, we will continue to emphasize the teaching of the word, prayer, and we encourage you to come and join us for prayer, fellowship, spend time with God's people, so that you won't give opportunity for Satan to work. Jesus is the King. It may not appear so. The world is going to the dogs. It is chaotic out there. There's no rule. Everybody does what they like, right? But you and I were to be the light, the salt. That's what God calls all of us to be. And we are to go out there to proclaim to people that Jesus is the King, and he's going to come again. And he has the authority, because it is his kingdom that he has established in your hearts and in my heart. So can I challenge those of you who have been walking with Jesus for many years, but you have not been progressing? It is because you have not gone back to the foot of the cross, to nail yourself to the cross, to die to yourself. You've been living, running your own life all this while. So there is no change. There will never be any change. But you've got to hand your life over to Jesus. I'm going to pass the time back to Brian. And as God speaks to you this morning, areas that you need to deal with, you need to hand over to God. Quietly, where you are, just speak to God. he will hear you.